In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swung, hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
What can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddies.
Welcome to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. I'm Brian Shackman, along with my cohort, John Senecal. Episode 149. Holy crap.
Getting up there in years.
We got to have a party for... I'm not prepared to have a party for 150, but we'll have to do something for 200.
We're
or
like
something.
Right around 3 years now, because I think we started in like May of 2021.
That's crazy.
Yeah, a little bit after the beginning of the season started in 2021.
May of 2021, your son was a sophomore?
Sophomore, yeah. Because he was the COVID year. It was his freshman year.
So it's funny. If you go to John's, I don't know if it's private or not, his Facebook page, he had a three-picture sequence. His son is a shortstop or second base?
Shortstop.
Shortstop. So for his high school baseball team here in Connecticut. And you did a quick exposure?
I just layered the shot as it went.
But the look on his face, and he was making a catch on a line drive, right?
Yeah.
I thought it was utter fear. Yeah, like it was one of the scariest faces I've ever seen.
It's funny because one of our good friends who's moved on to Long Island over the years, and she commented on the picture and she said, I love his faces because that's what he makes, the craziest faces when he makes plays in the field. And even in soccer, I've freeze and I send them to him and we have good laughs about it.
Because it looks like he's absolutely frightened.
Yeah, like you saw a ghost or something.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It's unbelievable.
And then he makes like a Sylvester Stallone, like Rocky face a lot when he'll throw the ball. And it's funny. We have a lot of fun.
How's his senior year going?
It's going good. The team is good. They're 6-1. He got off to a rough start, but we corrected a lot of that, which helps.
At the plate.
He was just pressing, striding too far. I mean,
because he wants to impress for college.
Well,
people,
I think it's just in general, you know, he's a captain of the team. It's his senior year and you know, that, and just, you know, being a guy,
and
you know,
baseball's tough.
Yeah. And baseball's tough. So he was pressing and he was struggling, and like baseball is baseball and it snowballs, and then, you know, it starts to, I suck and all that. And I take a lot of pictures of the kids in general, but over the years I take a lot of him, and I take video too of his at bats. And I, you know, it took me literally three games for him to listen to me. And I basically said to him, I'm like, you have three hits in six games. You're not getting out, but like, you know, you're going down looking what you don't do. And which tells me
a lot of ground outs too,
and just ground. Yeah. Like just bad at bats, off balance. And I'm showing him pictures, and I'm like, listen, try it. Just try something different. Shorten your stride. And he did. And he had the best game. He had 3 RBIs, a run scored, and they won 5-0.
It's great the coach sticks with him, though, too, right?
I mean, he bats leadoff, which, you know, can be a benefit, but it can be a detriment, too, because you don't get to see, you know, you want to set the tone. If you don't set the tone, and you're the first person to see the pitcher. The funny thing about yesterday is, we have an old pickup truck that's 16 years old that we basically just beat around with, take the dogs and stuff. But he had to take it yesterday to school. And the doors, once you lock them, they don't open up again. So I'm not going to fix it because it's just...
So you got a Dukes of Hazzard through the window?
Or? Yeah, you got to leave the windows open. You just don't lock the doors. And I don't ever lock the doors because if someone steals it, they steal it, right?
So he locked them.
So he locked them yesterday because he's afraid of this Water Wars game that is going on in all the high schools that they're playing in Canton. We could get to that later. But I get a frantic call that all his baseball stuff is locked in the car and he can't get it. So he goes to the game today, which is a road game, and he's playing in his old cleats, which he got from the house, not his bat. He borrowed his friend's glove. So he played the whole game in just all old stuff and not even his own thing. And I almost thought like that's what he kind of needed too. You know, just go out there and just wing it. And he had a great game, awesome game in the field. Probably the most tries he's had in the field at shortstop this year, definitely. Maybe in the last 2 years. I think he had like 10 chances.
Is he going to play college baseball?
I don't think so. I think he'll play club baseball depending on where he goes. He has three choices.
There is such a thing? I didn't even know.
Yeah, there's club baseball. If he winds up at Fairfield, he'll play club baseball. He has a shot. He could play at St. Lawrence, but it's a walk-on, so there's no guarantees, right? If he goes to Loyola in Maryland, he'll play club. But you know, he's a good soccer player too, so he wants to do something. He wants to do something in college, at least club or whatever.
But he's got like a week to decide.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think his we've kind of made the decision for him, but we'll see what he says. We'll see what he does. I think
Want him to go to Fairfield?
Yeah. Yeah, I really do.
I think
it's a great fit for him. It's a great school. He wants to do business. It's a great business school. It's far enough away where nobody's going to be bothering him, but it's close enough if he needs a little help or a push.
Or some laundry.
Yeah, whatever. You know, I mean, we were all freshmen in college at one point, man. You know, it's not as easy as it looks on the outside. So
that's great.
We got a week to figure that out, but baseball's going good. They have a tough stretch coming up.
How's the quality for our podcast listeners? Like, that's the curiosity. Well, is the baseball good?
It's not bad. It's good. I mean, the kids are throwing harder. Kids are definitely throwing harder. But at the same time, you know, you have
are there less balls in play?
No, I think kids are. We have not run into a kid yet that's racked up double digit Ks against us. You have kids that throw junk balls and all that, but their tough stretch is coming up. I mean, they played some good teams, but now they got to play East Granby, they have to play Suffield, they have to play Rockville. East Granby's
people who listen to this don't have a crap.
Well, they're playing the top teams in the state for Class S, which is the small schools. So they're number five. Canton is number five right now, ranked in the state for Class S, and they got
to
play some.
Let's go to Class Triple L. Which is the majors.
Major leagues.
Yes. John Senecal, Brian Shackman here. I just wanted to ask you about your son. I think it's great the way you love baseball and that's been passed down to your son. I mean, ultimately, that's the joy that I get out of watching that and the fact that...
High school sports are great. Sports in general are great.
Yeah.
You know?
Listen, my one son who's like the bottom of the JV golf team, but he's so happy that he can play golf.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It just doesn't matter. But in terms of the baseball season... You know, I guess I'll start it off. I mean, I think that the Red Sox, it's safe to say that it's a little bit better than expected start for them. And they had O'Neill gone for a little bit because of his bump on his head. Trevor Story's gone. Now Casas is out. I mean, they have a bad team that was without some of its better players, and somehow they've managed to patch it together with pitching. So I don't want to repeat stuff. I just want to say that it's a little better than expected. Does it have me excited? No, it doesn't. But like, does somebody like, I'm looking for players to like and to cheer for. And Tyler O'Neill is one I definitely think I can. But Connor Wong is a guy who, it's funny because my wife, when he got called up here and there in previous seasons, my wife is like, I really like him. And I know that
he's the last one of the Mookie Betts, right? He came over in that deal.
I think that might be right.
He is the last man standing.
And he's technically the number two guy behind Reese McGuire, but I think he clearly deserves to play and he can hit. And I don't know what that means for Reese McGuire or the tandem there or whatever, but like, he's a guy that I'm into. You know, he's had to grow. Catchers are it's hard for some reason, it seems, to stick in the bigs, to get that day-to-day job. And just watching his progression, I'm kind of in him. So he's the one guy I'm watching. I know Cutter Crawford and some other pitchers are doing well, but it's hard for me to get too excited about that. But Connor Wong is the guy that I'm kind of into. That's the only, like, that's my Jake Shackman positive comment of the week.
I was surprised when I started looking at the Yankees and the Red Sox in general, you know, because Red Sox... most feel are overachieving at this point. Not me, though. I kind of said that they were going to be better than they were. I did say they were going to be better than they were. But I look at the two teams together, and the Red Sox are statistically better than the Yankees in almost every single category except batting average. And the Yankees yet have the most crucial line as wins, and they stand atop the AL East. But I thought I expected a little bit more parity there. But the Yankees and Red Sox, top of baseball and pitching. The Red Sox in ERA and the Yankees at number two. But overall, runs, home runs, RBIs.
Right. Well, the Yankees' offense isn't quite where
it should
be. It's
not where it should be. And a lot of that attests to Aaron Judge, right? But
I don't dance on graves here. Like, if it's his toe, I'm not happy about it. It's not like I'm going to gloat about it.
No, I don't expect you to gloat about it. But I wasn't putting a lot of stock into that until I heard on MLB Network Radio the other day.
You have to listen to the big guys to get some
advice. I listen to MLB Network Radio every day.
I know, but I said it a while ago. A big guy, little toe, big problem.
And they were saying that his swing has changed. Now, I haven't really noticed it. I haven't really pinpointed that much attention. I looked at it more like, how is he moving? He's still playing center field. They're not looking for him to DH. They're not spelling him a day.
Right.
So I'm figuring he's healthy. But if these so-called experts are seeing something, maybe there is something to it. I don't know. People are saying he hit a home run on Wednesday night and he broke out of it. But he also struck out in that at bat and he got another at bat, another swing because of a balk.
Right.
So I think Judge will be fine because he's Aaron Judge. I'm more worried about Glaber, and I'm still worried about the bullpen. That's my mediocre warm take with the Yankees.
Their offense is, I have to tell you, and again, it's early, but it's way weaker than I thought. I thought they would be number one in the league. And again, it's early.
Yeah.
But I thought they would be the largest run producer in all of baseball, just, excepting maybe the Dodgers.
It's been Soto and Volpe, really. I mean, when you think about it, a little bit of Cabrera mixed in. Verdugo every once in a while. Gleyber hasn't hit. Rizzo is just here and there. I mean, it's that Judge batting like 190. I mean, he's got 13 RBIs on the season. It's just he's cold. So there's nothing really happening other than Volpe.
Which is really interesting.
And Soto, and they stand atop. It's almost like they're just doing every part of their equation right. And there's not a big injury other than Cole. It's right. just kind of getting by, which is helping them, and they're getting it at the right time.
Well, and they're in first place, even though they're doing what they're doing. And, you know, Matt Sorois, who produces this podcast and sometimes visits, he's like, he wants to give Soto like a 100-year contract. He's like...
Well, I think a lot of people do, right?
He thinks he's so good.
Well, the other thing is, I mean, listen, it's not like he's just been good this year. You know what you're getting with him, and you're getting it with his age. So all the signs point to giving him... what he should be getting.
Yeah, the market rate, if you
will. Yeah, I don't think anybody is going to complain about whatever he winds up getting.
Real quick, Cole update. Do you think he comes back and when?
Well, I mean, he was throwing from 120 feet as of this week. I mean, that's not like full speed, but that's double what you would be pitching. So that's long toss, which is encouraging. And there hasn't been any sort of setbacks other than that I could hear. So I still think it's definitely after the All-Star break, especially if the Yankees are winning. I'm not saying like the third week in July. I'm saying sometime after the All-Star break. That could be the first week of August. Because if they're winning, why would you push him back? Why would you race him back?
You wouldn't. No, there's no reason to, as long as you're comfortably in a playoff spot. And the truth is, even if it were a wild card, but right now they're in first. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is episode 149 of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. I know you watch. Any other Yankees thoughts before I move on to something else?
No, not really. I'm worried about the bullpen. You know, everyone's Clay Holmes' numbers and stuff, but they don't reflect what that guy brings to the equation. It's just it's stress. It's a lot of stress. He gets bailed out by his defense here and there. I'm worried about the bullpen. The starting pitching, I think, for the Yankees has been great. I mean, Rendon is overachieved from what he's done last year by 100 miles already.
I want to ask you, since you watch the whole league, the only thing that, you know, there's, I love that the Astros are not doing well. I mean, honestly, it's amazing. I don't know if it'll stick, if they actually have a bad team. I have no idea. But the fact that they're in last is pretty amazing, and that division is surprisingly weak to start the season. But I had no idea the White Sox were that bad. Like, I had no idea they're historically bad right now. I don't pay any attention necessarily to things outside of the AL East and the NL.
Yeah, I mean, they could probably lose close to 120 games when you think about it.
I mean, that's insane.
Yeah,
I mean, entering Thursday, they have three wins.
14 out. In the weakest, well, some would say the weakest division in baseball.
Well, I mean, Cleveland's got a nice record, but I mean, in general, they're 14 games out after having played 24.
Yeah, I mean, they're over. Their season's over.
It's like in Tropic Thunder when they say they're a month, when the movie starts, they're a month behind schedule and they're only in their second day of shooting. That's insane to me.
Can you imagine playing on that team?
I mean, you're playing for a paycheck. You know what I mean? Like,
or getting traded.
Or arbitration or whatever.
Or to get a trade. And I'm thinking to myself, they already traded Dylan Cease, so where's their chips?
I don't know what they have. I honestly don't know what they have, but I also know that, you know, baseball is a weird game. You can be really selfish as a player and still help a team. So if people just focus on their own thing, but
hear nothing about that team other than the fact that they lose again.
Nothing.
Or they lost six straight, or they got shut out again, or they've been shut out this many times already this season.
I mean, the run differential, everything. It's just, they haven't scored any runs. But anything else you're seeing in the league that you want to talk about?
Well, I mean, talk about scoring runs. Let's talk about Mike Trout having 10 home runs and 13 RBIs.
Isn't that insane?
I mean, he's on pace for, 56 home runs and, like, 72 RBIs or something. It's sad, and I think it reaffirms my case that he is going to be salivating for a trade because, listen.
He says he wants to stay.
The numbers look good, right? He's batting .237, I think, right now, right around .240. So the average has to come up. But, yes, home runs, if he's hitting home runs on a good team he's driving in more runs on a good team, so he can be valuable. And he's not, he's playing unhurt, and there's no talk of him being hurt. So I believe
10 home runs and 13 RBIs.
I mean, Judge
RBI.
Has 4 home runs, he's batting like .190, and he's got 13 RBIs.
It's crazy. That is just insane. And he's not, and Trout, does he bat leadoff? He doesn't bat leadoff.
He just batted leadoff this week for the first time since 2020.
Okay, so it's not like he's been doing this every day from the leadoff spot.
And he actually hit a home run for the first time since 2020. He hit a home run for the first time. This week, he batted, So he hasn't been doing it this year at all. This is the first time he did it this season,
which makes that statistic even more mind-numbing.
Yeah.
Last item up for bid for me, and you might have something to add. We talk about Trevor Bauer all the time, and so the question really isn't should he be signed, because most people who are fans agree that he probably deserves a second chance. There are people who have done a lot worse who have gotten second chances. And he's in Japan, right? And he's pitching well.
He's pitching for the Mexican team. He just pitched for the Mexican team. I think it's who he's pitching for.
He's not in Japan?
I think he's pitching for some Mexican team. He just threw an immaculate inning. Had like 14
Ks.
He's pitching for some Mexican team. I don't know the name of it. But it's like basically like I think it's some sort of like almost like a traveling team or whatever. Because he pitched against the Yankees not long ago.
He's barnstorming?
He's like a barnstormer. But listen, I mean, if you look at his stuff, dude. I mean, his stuff plays, man. It is legit. I mean, it doesn't matter.
He is in the Mexican League.
If you're striking out, guys, in whatever league you're in, I'm not looking at who you're striking out. I'm looking at what the ball is doing. And that ball is like Looney Tunes, man.
But the question is, is it like a Kaepernick kind of thing?
It's a collusion. It's got to be a collusion.
The longer you're
going. It has to be a collusion thing. Why? We just talked about the White Sox. You want to put some fans in the seats? Right. You want to try to win some games, change the culture, sign Trevor Bauer.
League minimum.
I mean, come on. John Papelbon will pay for it.
No, but you're right. It has to be. Why doesn't he file like a lawsuit?
It's got to be collusion. Well, we talked about he doesn't want to be in court. I think his so-called second accuser is being like run up on fraud charges now. He's got skeletons, but at the same time, there's a lot of guys that got skeletons.
That have worse skeletons.
Skeletons that are playing Major League Baseball right now or whatever they're doing. I believe it's collusion. I feel bad for the guy, to be honest with you. I really do. And he's trying so hard to be noticed. I mean, Jesus, it's not like he's not trying. I mean, he is. There's nothing more public than Trevor Bauer's plea to be back in MLB.
I don't know if I would characterize my feelings as feeling bad for him. But I do believe he deserves a chance.
Everybody deserves a second chance, dude. I'm a firm believer in that. Well, I mean, unless you're going out slitting everyone's throats.
Well, that's things. Murder, rapist, maybe not.
Right. Let's take it in context. I mean,
I'm just saying,
Okay, so everybody doesn't deserve a second chance. I think in the scheme of things, right?
He deserves a second.
I'm not taking my kid's license away because he rear-ended a car when he was, you know what I mean? He deserves a second chance.
He deserves a second chance. There's no doubt about it.
You know who else deserves a second chance is Aaron Boone for getting thrown out of that game the other day by that crappy umpire.
But you know what's funny? I'm glad you brought that up because I just wanted, Mike, I follow social media as much as I can. I've never seen something that happened, you know, because it was a day game, and that so many of the baseball follows that I have jumped on it. It's like they thought it was one of the funniest moments in like years, and it was really because there's not a lot of people in the stands. Some dude's hanging out behind him, chirps, and Boone gets run, and it shows you how sensitive and insecure umpires are.
Yeah,
but it also shows you that when there's not a lot of people in the stands, a fan can pick him back.
Yeah, I mean that went right back to like the Savages in the Box day when I think they were playing against the Orioles and it was a day game, nobody in the stands, you could hear everything, and the YES Network let it go for a little bit. Then they hacked the mic.
Right.
But again, you know, these umpires, they're doing a hell of a job of looking to get some sort of instant ball and strike zone and just in general. But that's not balls and strikes, really.
Wait, you think umps want out of the ball
and
strike
No, I don't
business?
Think so. I think they're just doing themselves injustice of just not good looks across MLB this year. I mean, it is getting scrutinized like crazy how bad they are in general, the umpires. Not just in the field, but balls and strikes. The strike efficiency is, I mean, it's every night. Just turn on the TV and there's something affecting a game. There's Juan Soto struck out the other day on 7 pitches. Not one was in the freaking zone.
And a couple were called?
Yeah, he didn't swing at one pitch. And he got called out on strikes on 7 pitches. Yeah. Not one was in the zone. So he went to a full count and got called out.
So it's just baseline incompetence, in your opinion?
I don't know. I mean,
Trying to squeeze the zone, make it small?
I think in general, it's got to be hard. The ball's coming in really fast. And it's just to be pinpoint that much is hard. The strike zone varies based on size.
I like big strike zones, personally.
Yes,
but
at the same time, there's so much on the line with these games. You got to be accurate. You got to be good. And there's no, I would think the easiest thing to do to make everything 1,000% accuracy would be institute some sort of electronic balls and
strikes.
I know,
but then it just sucks. I just, this part of like baseball, like I hate replay too. I hate it all because it just... The game, and I know I'm old school, but like I don't mind mistakes. I don't want.
But when
robots.
You can scrutinize it so tightly based on technology, it's going to have to evolve. It has to
because it's
just a bad look after bad look after bad look. And listen, a human being is going to have mistakes no matter what. Nobody's perfect. But for a ball to be coming in at 103 miles an hour sometimes, and you're going to miss it by quarter of an inch, half an inch. And you're going to get scrutinized over that? That's not easy. That's not an easy gig.
It's not. That's it. John Senecal, great job. Have fun watching your boy play ball. It's so fun. Brian Shackman here. This is episode 149 of Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.